It is a Tuesday edition of Let's Talk. We'll have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's program. The final segment will be all yours. But in the meantime, a very special guest.
For all the folks listening at the Farmers High School this morning, welcome. Okay, you know who you are. Yeah, we know you're listening. All right, we know you're out there. The Farmers High School. We're going to talk a little bit about agriculture today because obviously it's really important for our entire area from the Farmers High School on down. Okay, all go all directions. Boom. But we also we started this a number of weeks ago, sort of a, I guess you'd call it a thank you series to our initial sponsors for, you know, advertising here on the Fox and helping us kind of get launched with our little long-term project that we're doing here, which is going to continue. And so we want to welcome our friend Chris Cole from Center Hall Farm Store to the program. Chris, first off, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you again.
All right, now, Ironhead, here's the part where I can't hear Chris.
Oh, sorry. I will. I was derelict on my duty.
I'm at Zoom Base Alpha here, so we're in three different locations here.
Yeah, I was derelict. I gotcha.
So, Chris, welcome to the show. Now, a transparency alert. Chris and I have known each other for a long time. We are essentially neighbors. I think our houses are, I don't know, a mile and a half apart or something like that. It's very, very close. Back in the day when I kind of followed wrestling a little bit, I remember having Chris, you and I had conversations about wrestling at the store. So those were fun times. Let's get a little background.
Quite even a mile and a half apart.
For people who are listening, okay, hold on. For people who are listening, they've certainly heard the commercials for Center Hall Farm Store. We've been airing them for quite a while now. So, Chris, let's start with some background, if you will, because I know you've been at this a long time. Tell us something about yourself, your background. Tell us something about the store. The store has been around for a very long time. All right, tell us something about yourself.
Well, I am the second generation in my family that's been here at this store. We started in 1969. We're the third owner of this business, and this business originally started in 1885. So it's been here a long time.
And, I mean, for folks who have never been to the store, let's talk about the store a little bit. Tell us, you know, what do you have? Where are you located? What do you have there? And so on. Tell us about the store.
Okay, so we're located in the south part of Center Hall, in off of 144. The actual address is 110 West Allison Street. Okay, we do. We have our own mixing and grinding facilities. So all the feed that we sell, we make ourselves. We buy local ingredients, we blend them together, and we make everything from cow, chicken, sheep, goat, horse, and it's all handmade right here on almost a daily basis.
And Chris, we should note that it was a very unusual circumstance. And my understanding is when Scott talked wrestling with you at the store, that's the only time in the history, I think, of the store that wrestling was discussed inside. So a very unique experience there is my understanding with Mr. Giese and you. Is that not correct?
That is correct. We would never talk about wrestling except for, I think, we talked about it for about a half hour already this morning.
Well, yeah, I mean, other than that.
Okay,
we're big avid wrestling fans. We're seasoned Penn State ticket holders. I was to Big Ten's last weekend. It was a lot of fun, too.
I don't know if he's listening this morning, but I hope he is. We're going back to the era of Rich Lorenzo, our friend Rich Lorenzo, the former awesome Penn State wrestling coach. That's
correct.
Back when I was trying to talk wrestling. Frankly, I wasn't very good at it, so there we go. But we need to make clear, Chris, all right, the store is just for farmers and wrestlers, right? Nobody else. Just farmers
and
wrestlers.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a lot of things at our store. We sell pet foods. But the main thing that we offer, I think, which makes us sort of unique in at least this central region right in this area, is that we manufacture our own stuff. We don't buy something and then turn around and resell it. So we're the originators of that product. And along with the products that we sell, we try to pass on that 50, 60 years worth of knowledge that we've learned about how to feed certain animals.
Let's stay with that for a second, Chris, because when we talk about the importance of that, like there is a lot of science behind it, right? In terms, I know, in particular with horses, just talking with you, like that, you know, I think for all animals, just like for humans, like the diet is important for the overall health. But like horses, right, have there's a lot of things that can go wrong with the stomach issues with horses. So like with horses in particular, the feed and what's in that feed is vital. And again, I'm singling out horses, but it really is applicable across the board.
That's correct. And actually, horses is sort of almost sort of our specialty. We actually have a wholesale horse business company also that we manufacture out of this facility right here. And we actually send horse products as far west as California, north into Canada, South America, Europe, all those kind of places. And it's been fun. Okay, it's a really interesting project. We try to pass on those years and years and years and years of knowledge. Okay, not only mine being an older guy, but my father, who was a horse owner for a long time, also.
Now, Chris, you mix your own feeds at the store, which I think that's kind of cool, but on the other hand, it's kind of scary. Because, I mean, there seems to be government regulations now for everything. I mean, if you mix your own feeds, is there some government person that has to come in and, I don't know, inspect and check out everything and all this other stuff? That sounds very complicated. How difficult is it to create these different feeds that you and your group handle?
So the short answer is we do get inspected. We get inspected by the USDA, and then we get inspected by the state on a regular basis, where they'll come in and they'll check whether our specs are up to what's on the tag. But as long as you stick with a lot of natural ingredients and you do not use a lot of pharmaceuticals, which we do not, okay, we try to stay away from that. It's not as complicated as what you think it is. It's more common sense. It allows us to make really kind of natural kind of mixes that I think the customer wants nowadays. I think customers don't want pharmaceuticals. They don't want the growth hormones. They don't want antibiotics in their feed. So as long as we sort of stay away from those kind of things, It's not as complicated as what you think it would be.
Now, Chris, though, is that commonplace? Now, I know there are other farm stores, like in other counties and places and so on. Does every farm store create its own feeds? Is that normal?
That's a correct statement. Every business like ours sort of has their unique mixes that, along with living within sort of general parameters, are unique to that particular manufacturer.
Now, maybe you mentioned this earlier. What are the hours for the store? If somebody wants to stop by and check things out, when do they do that?
Okay, so we're open 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and on Saturdays from 8 to noon. And we also have a really important part where people will, if our hours don't match their hours, where they will call us and we will actually set out on our docks stuff for late pickups. So if you haven't, say your job is you're a 7-to-7 person at the hospital, you know, you call sometime during the day and say, hey, I need 2 bags of this and 1 bag of that, and can you put it out on the porch for me so I can stop and pick it up at 9 or 10 o'clock at night? we do that for lots and lots and lots of people.
All right. Now, you mentioned the store has been open for a long time, six decades and thereabouts. Now, you know, somebody who's not into this stuff would think, well, farming is farming. You know, it's always been the same, blah, blah, blah. The technology, obviously technology has changed. But in six decades, Chris, that the store has been open, is agriculture the same? What's changed? What might be different now than, say, when the store was back in the 60s? What's the difference? Besides the technology, which is obvious, is there anything else that's really changed about agriculture today?
Well, yes, agriculture has really changed a lot. When we started in the late 60s and early 70s, and I was still just a kid, every farm, little wee operation to really big operations, had a wide variety of animals on every farm. So the dairyman would have cows, and he'd have pigs, and he'd have chickens. And through the years, everybody specialized, and whatever you decided to do got a lot bigger. So instead of having 20 cows, you might have 200 or 300 cows right now. And instead of having 10 chickens, you might have 1,000. So everything sort of specialized out. But the sort of hobby farmer or that individual who wants to eat what they grow, you know, they plant their own garden, they have their own chickens, they raise their own beef or pig. That's becoming very, very popular, where hobby farming is sort of almost ordinary right now when it wasn't before. You know, people are wary of what they buy in the grocery stores and those types of things, and they have a better feeling about, hey, I raised that. Okay, I canned that. I butchered that. And I think that's neat. I think that's neat for the people.
So to be maybe, I guess, simplistic here, Chris, is it easier or harder to be a farmer now than, say, 50-whatever years ago? Because, again, the main crux, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today is, Chris, I keep seeing stories in the media, agriculture is struggling. Farmers are selling. Things are not going well. Bad news, bad news, bad news. Which makes me think that it's harder to be a farmer now than it was all those years ago. Is that accurate? Is it easier or harder now to be a farmer?
I think it's both, okay? If you are a big, big, big commercial farmer, say, for example, you have 2,500 dairy cows that you're milking. That's a big project. Okay, the help's harder to get. The needs for financing are astronomical. The cost of equipment, replacement costs. That's a tough job. That's a tough job. If you are a smaller operation and you have some sort of unique thing to your operation. So say, for example, I have a really good customer who is in swine production. And he raises a lot of pigs. But instead of selling them at market, a lot of those pigs end up being pork sandwiches. They do well. They do well because of their ability to, so to speak, have an integrated program. So they have pigs in the beginning, and they have sandwiches at the end, and there's not as many people along the way taking a cut out of their profits. So it's harder if you're really big and you're strictly commercial. If you have some sort of uniqueness to your operation, you can still make a very good living.
All right, we got about a minute before we take the break. Chris, I'm embarrassed to ask this, but I honestly don't know. You mentioned like commercial or corporate farming operations. Do we have
Correct.
That around here? Because the people I know,
Heck
obviously,
yeah.
are family farms. Do we have that
Right.
bigger operation somewhere around here?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, we got several very, very big operations around here. We do. Okay. Guys that milk lots of cows. And then we also have the other side where we have some family farms. Now, in the area that where you and I live, Scott, we have lots of family farms which are mostly Amish. Okay, mostly Amish. So.
All right, again, we're talking with Chris Cole from the Center Hall Farm Store. I think we have a, Ironhead, we got a commercial break coming up here?
Yep, we do. We'll take a commercial break here. When we come back, I do want to touch on what Chris is seeing in terms of the interest with younger people in agriculture and farming. And also... again, I think I mentioned the other day, we've already got at our house a couple of tick bites that have occurred, and yeah, it's been an increasing problem here on the local front, ticks and mosquitoes, so maybe touch on that as we continue. It is our Tuesday edition of Let's Talk.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Ironhead.
The Penn State baseball team will host St. Bonaventure today. The Nittany Lions are off to an 11-6 start, going into the highly anticipated first Dollar Dog Night of the season at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. First pitch is scheduled for 5 o'clock. The Bonnies come in with a record of 7-11. And the Nittany Lions game with Bucknell, scheduled for Wednesday, has been postponed due to the expected cold weather. That game will be made up at a later date. The Penn State softball team's game at Pitt, originally scheduled for today, has been postponed. That game will now be played on April 16th. The Nittany Lions are 20-6 in the season and will host Indiana in the Big Ten opener on Friday at 5 p.m. Penn State hockey graduate transfer Jacques Boucault has signed a professional tryout with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms of the American Hockey League. That deal is for the rest of this season.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox.
Hey, have you checked out our website, 98.7thefox.com, our online home for everything The Fox. Click the stream link wherever you are. Information on Let's Talk with recordings from recent shows and interviews. Information on our afternoon regional sports programs and links to all of the great Fox sports shows heard the rest of the day. Check out our Let's Talk blog posts, local high school sports scores, and links to several area news outlets so you're always in the know. 98.7thefox.com.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Beer Belly's Beverage in downtown State College, located at 258 West Hamilton Avenue within the Hamilton Square Shopping Center. At Beer Belly's, they have over 500 beers, including domestics, imports, microbrews, seasonal selections, ciders, and more. Beer Belly's is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Check out our website at beerbellysbeverage.com. Beer Belly's Beverage, 258 West Hamilton Avenue in State College. Beer better, Beer Belly's.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little Pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Hi, this is Corey Comfort from Joel Comfort Toyota in State College. Are you looking for a dealership to call home? Joel Comfort Toyota is a locally owned family business that has been serving the community for over 45 years. Come see us and let us help you with your next vehicle experience. We're located at 120 East Clinton Avenue in State College, just behind the Waffle Shop on North Athens Street. Or visit us 24/7 at joelcomfort.com. And remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
The title and tag service that is customer-friendly and locally owned is at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned in Pleasant Gap. And as part of the Joel Confer family of dealerships, Monica Prisk is experienced and has been serving customers for 13 years. Cameron Confer is on the title and tag team and is there to help you with all of your title and tag needs. Stop at Joel Confer Quality Pre-Owned at 475 East College Avenue in Pleasant Gap and have Monica or Cameron answer any of your title and tag questions. Remember, good things happen in your community when you buy local.
Here's the K2 Roots Foxcast. Variable clouds through tonight. There will be some snow flurries around. Today's high temperature, 34 to 38. Overnight low temperature tonight, near 30. A bit milder tomorrow with some showers in the morning, and then back to snow flurries in the afternoon. It'll hit about 45 tomorrow. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We're joined by Chris Cole, Center Hall Farm Store, via the phone line this morning. And again, we'll have some open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
All right, Ironhead, why don't you pick up where you left off? Because that was going to be a question I was going to ask about farming and young people today. Let's pursue that. Go ahead.
Chris, what do you see in terms of the interest of young people in farming and in agriculture? I mean, there's been a lot of stories that a lot of family farms are, you know, getting sold off just because the next generation doesn't find that lifestyle especially appealing. What are you seeing on the local front here when it comes to, you know, the kids and the farming life?
I think that assumption is probably true. Okay, that farming is you got to love farming. Okay, it's got to be in your blood or in your heart, so to speak, because it's a lot of work, and it's more than an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday kind of job. So the younger generation, there's not as many willing to come back onto the farm as there was before. So farms are being split up, or they're being gobbled up by the bigger farmers, where the actual animal activity on that farm is basically gone. Okay. Now, on the flip side of that, is if you can find something unique that puts your farm operation not in, so to speak, the fast lane where everybody else is. There's a lot of interest in that. You know, it might be organic farming. Okay, it might be, and again, Scott, this will be for you because of one of the people that lives close to you and I on the south side of 192. He farms and is a commercial raiser of buffalo, okay, for buffalo meat, which is really unique. So, you know, he's going to be really successful. So if you have something unique going your way, some sort of interesting kind of market, that's great. If you're going to be one of the same old guys, it's going to be a tough slug, and the younger generation will not be as optimistic to that.
Chris, what are we seeing in terms of and I don't even know, like, are ticks an issue with, like, farm animals? Do they have the same type of issues that, like, dogs or cats or humans have? And we've had a couple of tick bites already in our house with my wife and kiddo this year.
Right.
And boy, they are tough buggers to get out. We couldn't get the one out. Eventually, we had to go get some help. They are, man, once they burrow, they are just tough. But what's the impact of the seemingly increasing tick issues that we're having locally when it comes to farm animals? An issue there or not?
It is an issue. It is, especially for equine. Okay, tick bites, Lyme's disease, those kind of related things are really tough on horses. And it's one of those things where it's almost got to be management because there's no vaccines. Okay, there's just a good eye to try to get them off right away. Use certain kinds of tick and fly sprays when you're out into the woods, or if your horses are close to a wooded area. It's a battle. It's a battle. Battle with dogs and a battle with people. Yep, it's a tough battle with people.
See, Ironhead, the next time you go out for a walk, you need to make yourself all slippery. Like, cover yourself in oil. Away. That's a terrible mental image. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, that is not a good image.
Folks, don't do that. All right. That didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Just forget about that. Okay. Chris, let me go back to youth. Now, for folks who aren't familiar, FFA is Future Farmers of America. And
correct.
Not every high school, but a decent number of high schools have an FFA chapter. Penns Valley has one. State College has one. I think sometimes, this is Scott, I have a bit of a bias. When I think State College, I think Penn State, and I forget that there's quite a bit of farmland in the State College School District. And they've got, I think, a very good FFA chapter. In fact, I think I read they have one student, one girl, who's going to some national conference, which is pretty cool. Chris, do you do anything with FFA somehow, some kind of outreach to young people to support them? Like, you're making the right decision in sticking or going with agriculture. I mean, I'm just curious, do you do anything with that?
We do. We sponsor an award at the FFA down at Penns Valley every year. As far as the local kid, you know, I know a lot of the local kids that are in FFA, but sort of hands-on kind of stuff. No, not a lot. Not a lot. Okay. Just know them, know the parents, that kind of stuff.
All right. Now, this might sound like an odd question of sorts, but what the heck? Let's have some fun. How do we make farming more sexy for kids, for young people to say, yeah, this is what I want to do for my career? Or is that just, these days, is that simply not possible anymore?
It would be a battle. It really would be. I think the best target audience would not be young. I think the best target audience would be young parents. Okay, where they're thinking about nutrition for their children and themselves and longevity, and you know, they're the person thinking of not being really a farmer, but more a backyard farmer, gentleman farmer kind of person, where they, again, they raise their own eggs. They have their own big garden, which they can and freeze out of. They have livestock, which are meant to eat. So that I think that's your best, in my mind, that's our best target audience.
All right, now, Chris, again, you and I are from Penns Valley, so we are surrounded by Amish farmers.
Correct.
Do I assume you interact with them a lot? Or
I do.
I mean, the Amish, again, kind of keep to themselves in a lot of different things. I mean, how much do you have some kind of interaction with them when it comes to farming?
On a daily basis, the majority of our agricultural customers are Amish, okay? And again, we specialize in sort of that horse portion of agriculture, and they still farm with horses. So we have lots of horse feed that we deliver down to them. Actually, when I travel, my Amish neighbors feed my horses for me and do a wonderful job. And they're just the salt of the earth. They really are. That's a good group of people.
Are the Amish having these discussions, Chris, about young people that maybe in the future they'd prefer to be a carpenter or construction worker or thing rather than be a farmer? Are they having any kind of discussions, or is that just us?
No. They're having more discussions than what we are. Okay. They really are. We lost a big, I wouldn't say portion, but probably half a dozen of the farms in the valley that you and I live in just this year, where the cows are no longer being milked, because the next generation are more interested in carpentry and some sort of off-the-farm occupation.
All right, let's look ahead a little bit. For you right now, Chris, what are the biggest challenges or concerns that you have maybe for the future of your store or for the future of agriculture in general. Now, that could just be where we live, or it could be agriculture like the big A, like everywhere. What are the biggest challenges and concerns facing the industry right now?
Oh, that's an awful good question. So if I look at my own personal area, okay, in the survival of my store, it's my ability to adapt to what my customers want versus what they wanted 10 or 15 years ago, and also the ability to make that my little niche, which is my horse portion of my business, grow like it has been. So if I can get that done, you know, I'll be here for a long time.
Chris, with the sprays and stuff, how have public attitudes changed, and what have you seen just in the agriculture industry in terms of the concerns over, you know, what is actually in the sprays, how it might be impacting the environment, the ground, you know, not just, you know, killing the weeds, but the overall impact and the chemicals that are actually involved there?
Well, that market has become a two-part market. There's the commercial growers, okay, who do a really good job managing sprays and fertilizer, using the right amount of stuff, and using it to their best advantage. And then the other portion, who have simply moved away from it completely, okay, do not want to spray, to have a more holistic view of growing things. And I think as time goes on, that space between them is just going to get wider. It really is. Because, again, that if I identify that customer that I'm looking at to get walking into my store is those people that do a lot of that stuff on their own. They raise their own stuff, that kind of thing. They are looking for alternatives to chemicals, sort of like you and I are looking for alternatives to pharmaceuticals. Maybe we're asthmatic or something like that. Is there something I can do besides pharmaceuticals? That customer is looking for alternatives to sprays.
Chris, I'm curious, how much does government get involved here? So, for instance, every now and then we hear about a new farm bill out of Washington. And if I recall, our local congressman, Glenn Thompson, is on that committee, you know, when it comes to agriculture and stuff. And it sounds big and it's huge and it's a lot of money. But for you on the front lines, I mean, how much does government get involved with what you do? And the farm bill that comes up every now and then, how important is that? Or is that just a lot of government spending that doesn't really do much?
I don't know. I sort of told myself, I'm not going to really talk about politics a lot because I'm going to get myself in trouble. But the farm bills that come up are not applicable to most of the people in our area because we do not have a lot of big commercial producers. We have some that they are, but to the average person, they're not very applicable in our area because we just don't have the land base nor the animal base. So that's Midwest, Mid South, you know, where they have lots of pork, lots of dairy, lots of row crops.
Chris, we have just a couple of minutes left. Want to get to the important question of, is there any point at which you see the Penns Valley pipeline to Penn State wrestling slowing down? Baylor Shunk had a terrific career, made significant contributions, and now Ty Watson will be coming in next year. Do you foresee this ever slowing down, where the Penns Valley pipeline to Penn State wrestling just keeps rolling?
Penns Valley's got an awful, awful good wrestling program going on right now, and it's really neat to see the young local kids end up at Penn State. They get a really good experience out of it. They get a chance to wrestle a little bit. They get an awful good education, and that's what it's always all about. So I hope it keeps on rolling.
I hope so, too.
Unbelievable. Wrestling. How did I know that was going to get in here? How much, Jeff, how much time do we have left?
I don't know. Jeff and I have a big history in wrestling, whether you know it or not. His
Jeff,
father
how much time do we got left?
Was my high school wrestling, one of my high school wrestling coaches.
Very quickly, Chris, I have to ask, just for the heck. Okay, go.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, you guys, go ahead. You're the customers. You're always right.
Hey, Chris, do farmers actually talk about climate change, or is that just the people who are consumed by that issue? Do you guys actually talk about that at all?
You're just trying to get them into politics.
I'm just curious.
I don't talk about climate change at all. Okay. And I haven't heard anybody come into my store talk about climate change at all. And I was in the Midwest last week, and nobody talked about climate change out there.
Which doesn't surprise me, I guess. But, I mean, if people would be affected by climate change, right, it would be farmers. It would be you.
You would think that would be true. You would think that would be true.
Chris, we sincerely thank you for the time. Appreciate it. And hopefully we have plenty to talk about after the NCAA wrestling championships as
there,
well.
There you go. I appreciate the time you gave me. And I will constantly text you through the wrestling tournament.
Sounds good.